Hi, this is Scott Roberts of the Dexter Podcast, and you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Two Guys Talking is an internet radio show providing you with entertainment, a sharing of viewpoints, and fun. Join us as we venture into the world of entertainment and discuss a variety of topics, from television shows, DVDs, feature films, and more. This week, Two Guys Talking.
Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
The Two Guys Talking podcast perspective reviews have a truly warm place in our collective heart for the Transformers franchise. Whether it's from long ago as overpowering, delightful, and memory-inspiring cartoons, or on the stove, being boiled into a messy pulp like the second Michael Bay feature film offering, we've discussed them all. And now, the summer of 2011 was the showcase for the third and final Transformers film. Prime is back in charge. Guest voice stars galore make their way to the mostly digital canvas featuring Chicago. And hardcore, real 3D is here to rule. Strap in, polish up your multicolored, flame-ridden paint job, because it's time for the Two Guys Talking podcast perspective review of Transformers Dark of the Moon, the final entry from Michael Bay, on the Two Guys Talking podcast network. Greetings, everybody. I'm Mike Wilkerson, one of your hosts.
And I'm David Crete, your other host.
For those of you that aren't familiar with David Crete, David Crete is also the host of the Fang Banger podcast, covering everything True Blood and all things with fangs and entertainment. Make sure you check that out at fangbangerpodcast.com. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes inside of housekeeping. You love this movie? You hated this movie? What's the quick read?
This movie was okay. It's much better.
Are you strong on the other ones?
It's much better than part two.
Let's get some quick housekeeping out of the way quick, and then we'll jump right to it, David. The first thing we're going to talk about is our contest. Our contest for all of our perspective reviews for these summer films through 2011 and all of our Dexter and Fangbanger podcasts is offering anybody listening a chance at $100 cash or any of one of five DVD Blu-ray sets. The only thing you have to do is tell us what you think of anything that we've got on the network, whether it's these new reviews or something from the past. All you've got to do is go to our website at twoguystalking.com, click on the contact button, and tell us what you thought of it, and you're in the running for $100 cash or a free movie set. Go check that out again at twoguystalking.com. Second thing inside of housekeeping. Remember, there's now a ton of perspective reviews featuring both the summer feature films from this year, but also previous years inside of our Nostalgia Engine project. It's something that takes the old, dashes a little sprinkle of new over it, and in this year's case, you can actually win cash for just telling us what you think about all of it. The other thing we're going to talk about quick is the Fang Banger podcast. Again, for those of you that are completely unfamiliar with the word Fang Banger, much less True Blood, the Fang Banger podcast is...
It's the podcast for the HBO series True Blood, based on the Southern Vampire novels by Charlotte Harris. We reviewed season four just recently.
Right.
We've done a couple of follow-up and reviews. We're going to do a couple of feature film, Fright Night, the original Fright Night, Fright Night 2011, which is also one of our summer movie reviews.
Right.
We're going to also review Shadowland, which is a film by the Pirate Media Group, which was filmed entirely here in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, made by St. Louis people, directed, acted, all the people are from St. Louis. Something really special, again, for those of you that don't know, we're actually in the St. Louis area, and so being able to help pimp those things that happen in St. Louis is huge for us. The other cool thing about the Fang Banger podcast, I had the total honor of co-hosting in it, and what I love about it is that we now, in Two Guys Talkingdom, now have a go-to area for creature feature films.
Which is something that we hadn't
had
before.
And I have always wanted to jump into that. I like creature features. I hate me some vampires and the rest of the crap.
Right.
So it's the perfect little shunt that we get to throw that to an audience that's totally appreciative of the topic and subject matter. So make sure you check that out at fangbangerpodcast.com. Last item. The Dexter Podcast. Dexter Podcast is in full swing. As we record this episode, we're into episode 3 of Dexter's season 6. By the time this gets out, we'll probably be into the 6th or 7th episode, so make sure you go check that out at twoguystalking.com. Click anywhere you see Dexter on the front end of the website, and you'll get what you need to get your Dexter fix with the Dexter Podcast, Two Guys Talking. So, let's get straight to the Two Guys Talking perspective review of Transformers Dark of the Moon, reviewing the most recent Michael Bay feature film, Transformers Dark of the Moon. This episode brought to you by Traumatic Cleanup and Restoration LLC, The Sax Group, and Acoustica's Mixcraft recording software. Are you looking for a unique, perpetual advertising avenue? Contact the Two Guys Talking podcast now at twoguystalking.com. Hype for this was huge.
Yeah, all over the place.
And not only was it huge, it was fairly positive. And the reason, and I love it when they do this. I love when any movie is able and pulls this off, even if it's just at the beginning, where they can roll something historic, i.e. the moon landing, into something that pimps the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is exactly what the very super early trailers, the only thing you saw was all that stuff that makes your heart flutter when you see it on the screen about the moon landing and Neil Armstrong and the Apollo program and all that stuff that makes your heart swell and proud to be an American. Well, that's what they showed you. The difference is that the last 30 seconds of it are Neil and Buzz entering into this giant ship, and then there's this giant eye that's going into the Transformers logo. Awesome! Absolutely the way it should be, and it really did. It started the engine of hype for this movie, and I loved it. I thought it was great. You add on that, you add on the casting that's going on, you add on that 3D, the real 3D, where they're going to take the giant 3D cameras that are as big as cameras as David and I to go and film the stuff. Yes. All kinds of yes. And the hype built huge for it. Where did you go? You didn't go and see this movie in the theater.
I didn't see it at the theater. I watched it on Blu-ray.
You watched it on Blu-ray. That's right. And what did you think of the Blu-ray presentation? Solid?
Really, really good. I did, of course, didn't get to see any of the 3D stuff, which everyone hyped really big. As far as the presentation and the clarity, I thought it was magnificent.
Good, good. I saw it both in 2D and 3D, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we get to the effects portion. Both, I thought, were stellar presentations. Both houses were full when we went to go see it, and I got to see some of the disappointment that I am disappointed of from a crowd. Then there was also a whole bunch of other stuff where people laughed in appropriate sections. There wasn't any guffawing when you expected it, as in the previous films. And so again, the hype really was working as a machine to pimp this movie, Transformers: Dark of the Moon. Oh, money! David, we come to your favorite part of every perspective review.
Absolutely.
Mostly because you always get it wrong.
That's right.
So just give me a guess. Domestically, what do you think this film has taken in to date?
I think domestically this film has probably made $250
million. $250
million.
Close. $353 million. So just that tiny little bit off, you know, what's $100,000 nowadays, right?
$100
million? Or $100
million,
right. No, it's $353 million.
Okay.
That's just domestically. Well, I'm going to give you another guess for numbers.
All right, I'm going to go
foreign take.
Just the foreign or the
only
total?
Only foreign take.
Only foreign take. Well, I'll go with another $350
million. $353 was for domestic. $771
million. Good Lord.
Foreign. For a total take of $1.2 billion.
That's ridiculous.
That's only to date, and I'm going to guess that because it's being taken now, it's not a true gauge of what the real Blu-ray DVD take is going to be yet.
Wow.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about the money in the franchise section of the review. But as you can see, this is going to be a hard pill to run away from quickly for Michael Bay and anybody that has any interest at all in making a Transformers film.
In making money.
Really?
Because let's break that down.
Hey, if you and I had $300,000,
I know where
we're throwing it.
Well, absolutely. You know, if they want to throw me just a small taste of that money to make another Transformers film, I think I would have to be there. Whatever my artistic sensibilities are, anybody attached to these films, when those kinds of monies are thrown around, I don't see this as the last. I think everybody said this is it for us, but you know, nobody leaves that kind of money on the table.
I have to totally agree with you. And the gist of all of these things in regard to Transformers is that this may be the last Michael Bay film, but this will not be the last Transformers.
Oh no, absolutely
just
not.
Just impossible. Anyway, so again, as we always state here inside of Two Guys Talking Perspective Reviews, this movie, like so many others, especially with Michael Bay and effects galore attached, is a corn combine of cash that does nothing but hit the on button and collect.
Yeah.
And so it is. It is just another corn combine of cash. Oh, good. Wow. You know, we've tried to condense this list so that this won't be a three-hour review, because I got to tell you, between the goods and the bads, this could easily be a three-hour review.
Yeah, we could talk a long time.
But we're going to focus on some really great, hardcore good stuff, some hardcore bad stuff. The first stuff we have in the good, the bit on the moon and the aura of working within human spaceflight. again, for those of you that have either followed me on Facebook or know me personally, you know my love of human spaceflight and how saddened I was to know that the budget is now gone, essentially, for human spaceflight.
Yeah.
We get to go borrow from the Russians and the Chinese at this point.
Or whoever.
Or whoever happens to have a rocket going
into space. I think the Brazilians are putting things in space at this.
Next to the shantytown above the thing of Jesus on top of the hill is a rocket pad.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, I love human spaceflight. And so this shoehorning inside of this film of human spaceflight was just the bee's knees for me. The only way this could have been better is if they'd have actually been able to goad Neil Armstrong into a film. Neil Armstrong, for those of you that haven't paid any attention to him since he landed on the moon in 1969, is an incredibly quiet, private man.
To himself kind of a guy, yeah.
To a T. The only time he's ever shown up for stuff is when he's being given an award by NASA or Congress recently bestowed medals of, it's not medals of honor, but
the freedom.
Medals of freedom, that's what it is. To all three of those astronauts. And they absolutely deserve it. It was an achievement that it's taken this long to set. But again, being able to tie that human achievement of space flight shoehorned into a movie like this, I love me that. You got me all day long.
Yeah.
Any movie that chooses to do things like that, I'm there all day long.
You know, one of my big things is sort of alternate reality fiction.
Yeah.
I like it in movies. I like it in books. And anytime that you can take something as robustly out of the ordinary as, say, the Transformers, you know, sentient transforming robots from outer space, and somehow really tie it to our world, our experience, is magnificent. It's one of the reasons Forrest Gump was such a great movie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because they
were
literally able to take a fictional story
and
insert it into things we all collectively remember and have deep emotional connections with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The fact that they spent the very beginning of this movie, 10, 15 minutes? It went on.
Yeah.
With tying in one of the most pivotal moments in human history, definitely in American history, the first landing on the moon with the Transformers. And sort of making it be that way. And then Buzz coming into the film later on. Mm-hmm. It really sort of tied that into our reality. Mm-hmm. And it was done really well. Mm-hmm. It didn't look chintzy.
And class, right.
And it had a lot of class. Absolutely.
It had a ton of class. You wrap that around again. Gorgeous special effects. I think in every instance. I'm trying to find the crappy special effects in this movie. And in particular in the conveyance of true 3D inside of this.
Yeah.
I there wasn't anything to be had. Yeah. So I was
They had money to throw around and they did. It was great.
Doing away with most of the rabble from part two. Now, for those of you that remember our part two review, by the way, you can listen to every single review of every single incarnation of Transformers, whether it's the animated movie or any of the three digital offering or the three Michael Bay feature film offerings. You can listen to all of it by going to twoguystalking.com/Transformers and listen to all of them. You'll remember from our part two review, we ripped it hard. That was Kip Lewis, David Zironis from my high school days, again, hearkening back to memories from back then, drawn over enveloping the second film, and it did not match up at all.
Right.
Lots and lots of things wrong, in particular.
The stereotypical.
Incredibly stereotypical model showcased inside the second film. Almost all of that is completely gone inside of this third feature film.
Almost.
With some exceptions that we'll talk about in the back.
Right.
But they got it.
Yeah,
they literally
listen to the people.
I'm hoping that they listen to our review and we go, tell you what, let us make a 45-minute version of your film that everyone will love.
Right, exactly.
Now,
exactly.
What they've done is they've taken the 45-minute version and multiplied it by three to get
once
this
Once again,
one.
We'll get to that later.
So we'll get to more of that later. Anyway, it was good to see that they listened or took perspective from hopefully a perspective view from Two Guys Talking. Chicago and locations everywhere. Now, for those of you that don't know, I lived in the Chicagoland area inside of a town called Schaumburg for a long time. It's about 25 minutes outside of Chicago, and I love the city of Chicago. I'm intimately familiar with it. When Ferris Bueller's Day came out and he went to Chicago to spend the day, that's half of the days that I spent in Chicago when I was either blowing off school or with friends or family or whatever. And so it's great to see Chicago not only as a canvas for this movie, but where something significant is happening.
Yes, absolutely.
Because name me the other epic movie that has something in Chicago, not The Dark Knight Rises.
Other than Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Right.
Right.
That has used Chicago that doesn't just pee on it as they fly over.
Well, and you know, we also got a Dark Knight aside. That wasn't taking place in Chicago. That was taking place
in Gotham.
So to see any Midwestern city, be it, you know, it's sort of one of those things where I see Washington, D.C. get invaded by aliens every day.
Yeah.
I see Superheroes Day on the street of New York every day. I see every manner of everything happen in Los Angeles every day and occasionally San Francisco. You have your occasional every couple of years three movies set in New Orleans, and then that's it.
Right.
The rest of the country gets left out a lot.
Yeah.
Particularly the, quote, flyover states.
Right.
Chicago is one of the largest cities in North America, and it gets so little exposure, and it is really, really an interesting place. I have a great story that I'll tell everybody about one day about how I was left in Chicago. It's pretty funny. But Chicago is a great city, and the fact that they, once again, based their fantastic, extraordinary epic in a city that is so real and lovable, like Chicago, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, it's great to have the dirty dungarees city of Chicago be held up as this opulent mecca for Transformers activity. It was awesome.
Sure.
It was absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, it's great that the bad guys decided that the center of civilization was Chicago, and that's where they were going to do their thing. It's great. That's great.
Got to get some deep dish. Oh, and Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime.
Okay. The cast. Again, we've got an incredibly gifted voice cast. By the way, all of you, make sure that you check out the Two Guys Talking Voice Farm, which should be long and hard running as soon as you listen to this podcast. Again, you can check that all out by going to twoguystalking.com. The voice cast featured inside of this brought back a whole bunch of awesome, awesome, stupendous people. In particular, Peter Cullen.
Yeah, they couldn't make the movie without him.
I have a feeling that the day that Peter Cullen dies is the day we might think about there not being another Transformers movie.
I agree.
But we're nowhere near that, so I don't care. It was great to see him. It was great to see all the other people that really put in something worthwhile here, including a bunch of the cast that were actually acting inside of this
absolutely.
Movie. This is one of the few films that they've done here within these three where there was lots of portrayal that I really felt like they were actually acting, as opposed to showing up and putting on a Superman cape and then having a camera in front of them. And that's not what I was looking for in the previous ones. I was looking for something more earthy, and we got it in this movie.
Yeah, I think that the inclusion of Leonard Nimoy, who was technically in retirement at the time,
to come and do cash.
But really, I don't think Leonard Nimoy needs a whole lot of cash. Probably not. You know, unless of course Bernie Madoff stole a bunch of his money or something. But you know, the fact that they got really, really good people who are really good actors and actresses to come and do parts in what is essentially a giant popcorn blow-em-up film, but turn in real performances as opposed to, will you please sign my check and I will smile at the camera and thank you good night. The fact that they showed up and put in performances, it speaks to the quality of the people they had attached to the film.
I totally agree with that. True human death. You bet your ass. Yeah, I know all of you remember the days of the Transformers when their 8,000 little projectiles, blue and red, shooting through the air and nobody got hit.
Right.
Except maybe the ground or some stones or something. That's not what happens here.
No.
We have the Decepticons descend on Chicago and they begin the annihilation takeover.
Yeah.
Instantly. And you see people running away and
just vaporized.
Clothing. Yeah. Very much like what happened inside of War of the Worlds that Steven Spielberg directed.
Sure.
The difference is that I thought this was way more raw. And I don't know if it's because the camera was more kinetic it might even have been because they pulled back and you could see four and five Decepticons in an area of 20, 25 people and then literally going, pachow, 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 pachow. And each of those things making people just poof into dust.
Right, yeah.
But seriously, there was no blood, there was no gore, there were no body parts flying. But it was hardcore.
Yes.
And that they bothered to ratchet up the level of entertainment and pressure and tenacity inside this film, I thought was great.
Well, they gave you a vested interest in it, as opposed to it added to the weight of what was going on.
Gravitas.
Yeah. Absolutely. As opposed to, okay, well, I hope they don't wreck another expensive car. It's, you know, these people are, that guy was running down the street and now he's dead.
Right.
And did he have kids? Well, I'm sure his parents will be upset. Well, were they in that skyrise that just fell over?
Yeah.
You know, it really brought that home, the fact that this was indeed for the survival of our race. So they did throw that in, and it worked out really well.
The effects and real 3D. Now, I know you said you saw it on Blu-ray.
Yes.
And I also have seen it on Blu-ray as well. So actually, I've seen three different formats of the film. The 2D, the real 3D giant mega screen, and then the Blu-ray presentation. And the effects in this movie are bleeding. You know, right now I could take a razor and go, and that's how bleeding edge the 3D effects were in this.
Yeah.
It absolutely encompassed you, and it didn't make you sick. They knew what they were filming. They knew what they wanted to shoot. They knew the effects that they were adding in, and it all just – there was complete synergy inside of especially the 3D realm. There was nothing wrong with the 2D presentation. It was just as good.
Yeah, I thought it was
no
really
doubt
good.
About it. For those of you that missed out on the 3D presentation, hopefully there will be another opportunity for you to go and see it, because it is worth that extra money and the potential headache inducement
right.
that you might have. I don't have any of that. And I know that there are people that legitimately have that, but wow. Across the entire spectrum, wow, what a presentation.
Yeah, like I said, I only saw it on the Blu-ray. And I got to say that, you know, I don't have the biggest TV in the world, mm-hmm. and I don't have the best sound system, but, I mean, it really did punch. I didn't see the lines, as mm-hmm. we say. I didn't see the seams in their special effects. It wasn't as phenomenal as the first time I saw Jurassic Park.
Right, agreed.
But the fact that I didn't notice
yeah.
that it wasn't phenomenal
that,
is just as spectacular.
Yeah. The scene where you buy it.
Yeah. You buy it, and that's what's important about special effects, is that you buy the story they're telling you.
The scene where they lick the lid of the envelope and seal up the why people were on the moon prior to when we went to the moon. All of that, when they go to the Russian, to Chernobyl, the eruption at Chernobyl, all of that is spectacular level special effects stuff.
Yeah.
And again, it's one of those things where I would love to be able to see that. That's the other thing I haven't looked at on the Blu-ray, though, is the special additional accoutrement, the special feature stuff that you get
right.
on the Blu-ray. I haven't looked at that yet, but it looks immaculate. You know, it's one of those things where there's all kinds of cool stuff that you would have never known unless, of course, you watch this.
Right.
And so I still have yet to watch that. So it's another bonus thing that you get with the DVDs and the extra stuff that you get inside of entertainment. Just great stuff. And we're wondering what you thought of the effects here during Transformers Dark of the Moon. Remember, you can go to twoguystalking.com, click on the contact button on the top right-hand side of the page, fill out the quick web form, and make sure that you get entered into a drawing for $100 cash or the potential to get this movie or any one of the other feature films from 2011 on Blu-ray and DVD free from Two Guys Talking. The skydiving bit. This was more than a bit.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't either seen the movie or seen the special, how they did this inside of this movie portion of the movie, oh, wow.
Yeah.
There are some guys that are, imagine a flying squirrel. Well, that's what these guys are. They're jumping out of a plane.
Sure.
And they are literally flying on air, still falling, but flying mostly sideways while careening down at, I don't know,
sure.
a couple hundred miles an hour. And they're able to do this in tandem, not special effects,
yeah.
through the buildings and cities of Chicago.
Right. I saw
immaculate.
I saw a little.
I don't know how to describe it other than that.
I saw a little thing where, you know, they weren't actually jumping out of airplanes when they were doing the effects. They were jumping off the buildings. And they got all of the best base jumpers in the world,
right.
essentially,
the,
to come out.
The guys that do the flying squirrel
right.
stuff, right.
To come out and do this. And, you know, they were talking to him, and the guy, a couple of them were like, I'd have done this for free.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, are you kidding me? I get to climb to the top of some of the tallest buildings in America and fly through the streets of Chicago. He's like, we literally make a turn and then go up Michigan Avenue. He's like, it's magnificent. It is presented in this film in such a way that, you know, there's all this other stuff going on. There's, you know, crashing helicopter things and, you know,
Decepticons
and chunks of metal flying through the air
yeah.
and gunfire and missiles and everything. But all of that just sort of fades away around the incredible aerodynamic acrobatics, whatever,
yeah.
of these guys, you know, soaring through the air.
Yeah.
I mean, the special effects take a back seat. It's sort of just the canvas that these guys are flying through.
Yeah.
And it's really, really impressive, and it's done really well, and it's not done in such a way of, okay, everybody, look at this cool thing we're about to do.
Yeah.
It's an integral part of the story, and it's just an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah. Yay for no parents. Oh, wait. The parents are still in it.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. Real hardcore classics gotten right. We always talk about the drifting over or the import of cartoons to feature films and how we have to lose some things and we just kind of get to suck it. Well, we didn't have to suck everything in this movie. And
yeah.
why couldn't this have been the same thing all the way across? Let's start with yours. Yours was probably one of the best ones.
Well, I mean, Shockwave.
Yeah.
For instance, when Shockwave wasn't in the big wormy thing that I wasn't exactly attached to, when Shockwave was standing there by himself, they nailed that character.
Their Shockwave.
As good as their Optimus Prime is, their Shockwave is that much better.
Yes.
Unlike many of the other characters, their Starscream is leaveable. Their Megatron is less than stellar. Bumblebee is adequate. Optimus Prime is obviously the star of their show as far as porting from one media to the other.
Yeah.
But their Shockwave was just really, really well done.
Yeah.
It looked really great.
Yeah. Ratchet is another one that I think they the port over is as probably close as you can get without being stupid.
Sure.
But you're right. The rest of them are kind of hanky. Shockwave is spot on here. And again, all the things that are immaculately special effectized inside this movie are just that. They are the things where you can go, yeah, that is the natural port through of that topic. The other one that I wanted to make sure we definitely talked about was something that I was in love with as a kid that I was kind of ashamed to tell people, but Optimus's trailer.
Yeah.
Yes. That is, look, it's Optimus's trailer.
Yeah.
It looks just like
it
Optimus's trailer.
Just like it.
Look, it opens up like a flower, and now it's the armory for Optimus. Yes. That is exactly what that's supposed to look like, and it does inside this third feature film. It's awesome.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
You know, they really nailed that. They did a really good job, I thought, with the creation of the character of Sentinel Prime, but yet harkening back to some things we'd seen in, say, the Transformers movie or in the in the television show.
Yeah.
Not quite Alpha Trion, but, a good analog, I think.
Yeah. That we're done. Yeah. This movie was way too long. And again, we'll get into that inside of the negatives. But that we're done with what we've been presented, I'm okay. If there was never another Michael Bay-inspired Transformers film, I'm okay. I'm good with this being the bookend.
They did go out on a high note this time. Yeah, it really did.
The effects. Now, we've already talked about the effects once. But this is one of those films that, again, regardless of whatever medium you're looking at, whether it's the DVD, the Blu-ray, in the theater 2D, in the theater 3D, or in the theater 3D IMAX, you will not be disappointed in the special effects. You and I both, David, can look at 100 other films that have special effects that you and I can call decent. But we know the digital divide has not been joined so that there's no digital divide. That you can do that with this movie in so many different arenas, across so many different potential areas for special effects film, is a spectacular achievement that must be recognized.
I agree.
Let's take a break here during the Two Guys Talking perspective review of Transformers: Dark of the Moon, the third and final Michael Bay feature film here on the Two Guys Talking podcast network.
Fight Ribbon Clothing Company. Clothing and fight gear on a mission. Fight Ribbon is the original MMA clothing company built from the ground up for fighters and fans.
Clothing with a purpose.
The new face of cancer awareness, Fight Ribbon Clothing Company. Because what you wear matters. Visit FightRibbon.com.
I love Mickey Rourke's initial costume when he rips off the roadway red outfit and he starts whopping the first whips that he's got. I thought that was just some of the best special effects I've ever seen.
That's funny because I'm actually the opposite.
Oh, on that scene, you're kidding.
Well, I do agree that the costume was excellent in the movie overall. His
what
costume
did it want?
There was stupid.
Why? What do you want?
Because it left him almost completely unprotected. Oh, he's got these magic whip things. Oh, don't hit me with the whip. I'll just shoot you from 50 yards away and you fall down dead.
No, he didn't.
Totally
he was actually able to deflect his shots. I mean, it's incredulous, but hey, there's a guy flying around in a suit of armor.
Well, I can suspend disbelief to a certain extent, but that was just ridiculous.
I love that. I love the little figure that they've made, the little action figure that you can get. It all looks stellar, and it could be so stupid, just like Tony thinks it looks, but it doesn't. It looks perfect. The guy is throwing little tiny bolts of lightning via these whips and walking down the street, leaving a path of destruction in his
wake. I think it looked like a living action figure.
A living action figure.
Ripped
from the pages of comics.
Thank you, Law and Order announcer.
It was another great summer film from 2010, Iron Man 2. Don't miss one of our most popular downloads to date, The Two Guys Talking Perspective Review of Iron Man 2, now available on DVD. Check it all out at twoguystalking.com.
Are you afraid to answer the phone because it might be another collector calling? Do you lay in bed at night worrying about how you're going to pay your bills? Are you and your spouse arguing over the bills and the lack of finances? Do you think you're making good money but have no idea where it's going? Hi, I'm Mark Hollander, and studies indicate that 70% of families are living paycheck to paycheck. The Compass Project was specifically designed to help train families about how to properly budget their income and create the right plan to make sure their bills are paid timely. As a nationally certified Dave Ramsey counselor, we are able to step back and look at your finances objectively and provide you with no-nonsense solutions to your financial struggles. We'll work with you, creating a plan to make payments, anticipate financial needs, gradually eliminate your debt, and provide you with a peace of mind to finally get a good night's sleep. Contact us for a free consultation at 636-949-9949. That's 636-949-9949. Or at budgetingyourfinances.net. That's budgetingyourfinances.net. The Sachs Group, helping consumers and small businesses since 1985.
Are you addicted to hot sauce, spicy foods, finger-licking tasty barbecue, chili peppers, or buffalo wings? Well, have I got something for you. This is Scott Roberts, host of the Weekly Firecast, a video show on the Two Guys Talking Network that features the best of fiery foods and barbecue. Whether you like cooking over fire or enjoy cuisine that feels like fire in your mouth, there's something in it for you. So tune into the Weekly Firecast at weeklyfirecast.com and savor the burn.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Guys Talking Perspective Review of Transformers Dark of the Moon. I have David Crete in studio with me.
Hey.
And remember, you can learn more about the Two Guys Talking East Studio by going to twoguystalking.com. Let's get straight back to the review, David. Just as every movie has goods, there's also the bad. What they didn't learn a lesson about in part two.
The inclusion of Mudflap and whatever the other one's name, the
Skids,
the twins,
the
ethnic twins from the last from the second movie.
Yeah.
They learned their lesson. They're like, okay, people looked at that and said, you know what,
negative.
This is a bad thing.
Push and, the negative
right,
button.
We probably shouldn't do this again. And they got rid of those characters. That's great, but they replaced them with a soccer hooligan and you want the pizza pie with that. Ferrari. Literally, the Ferrari has to sound like a stereotypical 1950s Italian pizza salesman.
Yeah, and didn't they give the soccer hooligan a Target car?
Yes.
Did Target green light that? Did
Target go, I have no idea.
Sounds good to us. Yeah, let's do that.
That sounds good. A stereotypical blockheaded, you know, European, Australian soccer hooligan.
Yeah.
Why? You don't need to stereotype any of these people. They are all, if you look at the car, it is not the same as the car standing next to it. You don't need to give it such a ridiculous over-the-top personality. Hey, you want to throw a little accent on? That's cool. You don't have to get the Super Luigi Mario for the Ferrari. You don't have to do that. And why they did it, I don't know, but...
I don't have any idea. I don't know. I guess maybe because Italian people are less offended.
I
don't understand.
I don't understand that either.
I don't understand that at all. Who are these characters? Now, for those of you that remember these characters, either from the original cartoons or especially the comic books, the comic book writers of these characters really understood and nailed the characters inside the story writing.
Yeah.
And that most of that doesn't port into any of the movies, even this one. I don't think even the level of craft about character port pops in even this film.
No. I don't think that any of the characters were true to themselves in this film, with the exception of Bumblebee, who is always trying to protect Spike and continues to do so.
Right.
And Starscream, who's always trying to usurp power for himself.
Right.
Outside of those two characters, I don't think anybody stayed true to their characters. I mean, they really stepped outside.
And for those of you that will send us feedback, because we have gotten this in the previous reviews, where we go, well, yeah, but that's in the cartoon. Guys, this is a movie about giant robots from outer space fighting with other giant robots from outer space on planet Earth.
That's based on a cartoon.
Yeah. Stop telling me that we can't have the same things in both arenas and then be heightened.
Right.
How about we start with the joining of the two and then heighten it, as opposed to going, well, we got to come up with something completely different for this.
Yeah.
No, you kind of don't.
You can keep – that was the good thing about the Transformers that allowed them to stay around for 30 years to be made into feature films
it's the same
was the characterization that they created.
It's the same exact thing that they've only gotten a tiny little smidgen of with the G.I. Joe series.
Yeah.
That they that they have peppered pop culture on top of all of those characters. It's terribly frustrating as an entertainment critic because you want to see them bring something real to bear, and they just end up not doing it. And Sam's parents.
Yeah.
Sam's parents? Yes, Sam's parents.
And not just Sam's parents, but a slapstick, over-the-top, comical version of themselves. In the first movie, they were functional, although comic relief parents. In the second movie, they were...
Hated it.
I don't even know why they went and did the things they did or why they were the places they were. I don't get that. They should have been... They should have dropped him off at college and never have been in the rest of the film. How they ended up in Cairo running from bullets or whatever, I don't get that. Their inclusion in this film was entirely wasted. If they were to cut them out of the film, and we'll talk about the fact that the movie was too long... They would have made the movie that much better. Not only would we not have had characters that weren't necessary in the film, but we also would not have had all those extra minutes that we wasted our lives on watching them on screen.
As well as lending itself to a terrible movie trope.
Yes, absolutely.
The disappointed parents and the shame that a younger, recently graduated from college, still without a job person has.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, original.
Yeah.
It's not.
They had plenty of things for Sam to do in the film. Then also have to deal with that trope.
Now, is it over? Is it over? What do you think?
No, even if Michael Bay doesn't come back, everybody else will see the vast piles of money on the table, and they will come back around for it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't make $1 billion on a movie and then say...
$1.3 billion.
And then say, you know what? I think we're done here.
Ready for the shelf.
You know, if recent days have taught us anything about the economics of corporations in our country, it's that they don't leave money sitting on the table.
Yeah.
If they only made half as much money on the next movie, 500 something million dollars.
Well, you
gotta
go with that.
You gotta go. You gotta go. Even if you drop $200 million on the film, you gotta go.
The sweet perspective of that is it made $700 million alone overseas before it was ever seen in the United States. How can you not make another movie?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense at all. There must be another film.
There will be.
Homicidal Optimus Prime.
Yeah, this
kill them all.
This is what I was saying, how nobody was true to themselves. This is a complete raping of everything that was the Transformers from my childhood. You know, at the end of every episode of the Transformers, you know, they would all chant, you know, life and liberty and freedom and, you know, freedom for all beings. Well, except for the hundreds of thousands of Chicago citizens that we're going to let die to prove our point. And then all of our brethren, whom they've always been trying to work things out with. No, now we're going to kill every last one of them. Really? Because Optimus Prime would never and ever have said, we're going to kill every last one of them. Those are words that would and you know what? Peter should have stepped up and said, you know what? I've played this character for like, you know, the better part of a century, 30-something years, and he wouldn't say this. We talk about kicks and bumps where all of a sudden you're not in the movie anymore, and this was a huge
this
one for me.
For you. I totally understand and probably support what you're saying here. I just know that if the bottom line was I knew that we were never going to get a chance from the leadership of this new just going to stick around long enough to make sure all the humans are dead and then we'll give the planet back to the humans, people. And by the way, they also murdered us inside of our space capsule. My Buddha hat comes off at that point. And I must take proactive action to make sure that I help protect the rest of the humans that are going to be killed anyway, as well as the Transformers that didn't get killed.
Right.
Fair? Not
I
fair.
I guess. Like I said, once again, it's...
Kill them all.
Right.
Every last one.
You, you got to stay true to the character. That's part of why these movies were made in the first place, because those characterizations were so strong.
And that's actually a great point to ask you, the audience. What do you think? Are we talking about something outside the realm of possibility with Optimus Prime, with the "let's kill them all, every last one of them" comment? Or was there a window of opportunity that Optimus is taking advantage of to get over the hump and help save humanity here inside of Transformers Dark of the Moon? Alright, so who the hell has a spaceship, and who doesn't?
Right. I was a little confused, and I usually don't get confused in movies. I gotta tell you, not to blow my own horn, but...
Especially in this intensely involved, right, uber-intelligent port of a cartoon into a feature film.
You know, it's... it's right up there with Memento, as far as you gotta really pay attention to fucking see what's going on.
Memento, nice.
But
Transmento.
The Transformers say, hey, we'll send our spaceship up there to see what's going on the moon early in the film. And then later on, it's a huge reveal that they've got a spaceship. Well, nobody knew you had a spaceship. Oh, yeah, they're like shuttles that we modified. Well, I knew they had a spaceship because they told me earlier when I got to see the spaceship flying by the moon, because they said they were going. And I'm like, why is this such a big deal that nobody knew they had a spaceship? Because they told everybody they had a spaceship a little while ago when they said, hey, we're going to run up to the moon real quick and see what's going on.
I've got a better question. Inside of the last film, we had Optimus Prime being modified by older Decepticon technology, an SR-71 Blackbird, no less, that could fly. How about we just fly until Optimus can't use air anymore and he hurls himself into space and he goes anyway?
Sure.
Does there have to be a team of people to go and investigate the stuff on the moon?
I don't know.
Obviously not, because they kind of missed a few things when they went up to the moon. They found the ship. But what about those hundreds of thousands of other Decepticon pings that got overlooked by everybody that was on the moon?
Right.
Okay, well, that's a bump. That's a rub.
I hear you, dude.
That was the plan? Inside of just about every... Well, not every... But inside, as we start going back inside of the nostalgia engine scope here at Two Guys Talking, we almost always end up finding something where David usually says,
that was your plan?
And this movie is no exception.
Yeah. You know, I liked the idea that they put the Energon bridge in. That's something we didn't discuss in the ups, you know, things they brought back from the old show. You know, the Energon bridge where you just create a little circle and you could beam things from planet to planet or whatever. I like that. That was good. But your plan is to drag Cybertron through space and deposit it in the orbit of Earth to steal our resources.
And people,
or whatever.
Slaves,
or whatever they were going to do with the people.
Who can apparently travel through space without a spaceship.
Apparently so.
Over to Cybertron.
Right. So, really, that's your plan. You're going to drag an entire planet.
What about
planet.
The Decepticon that was a shuttle? Where's he at?
Yeah, where is that guy? Come to think of it.
Where's he at?
There's a couple of guys that like that, I seem to remember. But, you know, not just that plan, that was the Decepticon's grand plan. The other thing that really bothered me was Optimus Prime and the Autobots' plan was that since the humans didn't ask for their help, they were going to fake their own death and wait until things got so bad and so many humans were being massacred and murdered that when they showed back up and said, look, we faked our own death, everyone would go, oh, and thank you, and please can you help us? No, the Autobots don't do that kind of thing. I know, I used to watch the show, I read the comic books, I've seen their other films, I'm intimately familiar with these guys, and that's not what they do. They don't allow hundreds of thousands of humans to die to prove the point of, oh, you need us. No, that doesn't happen. It was so bad that I knew they weren't dead. I knew they weren't dead. The entire ruse, all that part of the movie, was a giant kick.
Yeah.
From that point on, I wasn't in their film anymore.
Anytime when you have the kick and then you have the scientific, commonsensical model that you have to drop out of your psyche, that's when I start having problems with movies, especially with television programs, when the commonsensical nature of you questioning things has to be dropped for you to enjoy the movie, which is exactly what we're talking about here.
Yes.
We later find out that the 9 Autobots on the planet didn't get killed. But somehow they were able to mask themselves from every other Decepticon hunting note signature.
Sure.
Instant rub for me.
Yeah.
Instant rub for me.
Well, not just
so
that.
So even at the second Optimus turns and he becomes this vengeful Optimus, which I was kind of a fan of. I'm ready for some kick ass. But the bottom line is, there's got to be what? Tens of thousands of Decepticon signatures in the city of Chicago alone, much less anywhere else. And none of them can detect another Autobot sentient creature?
Sure. Especially since they painted the first five hours of the movie, where they talked about how the Autobots had gone around and put Decepticon detecting arrays in every major human city.
So they would know if they ever came back.
So they would know if the Decepticons... Right, exactly. Right. So you're telling me the Decepticons don't have that ability?
Reciprocal technology, right.
Right, they can fly giant spaceships across the universe, but they don't have Autobot detecting equipment.
And that's what we're talking about. Again, I thought this was a brilliant movie. It gave you so much perspective inside of the realm of Transformers, as well as the gameplay that someone like a Michael Bay and his entire crew can bring to something like this. But when you have those fundamental bumps, there's always going to be a kick in the nuts that you have to not stomach.
Yeah.
You have to go, wait a second, did you really have to do that?
Yeah.
And the answer is they didn't. The rating. So we come to the part of the Two Guys Talking perspective review of Transformers Dark of the Moon, where we rate this episode, the third and final apparent episode by Michael Bay and the Transformers saga. 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst. David, where are you with this film?
My feelings on this film are, one, it was about an hour too long.
Yes, I agree with that.
There were characters they didn't need to put in the film that they did.
True.
There was a lot of not staying true to itself and its source material, which is something I have a problem with when you want to take and either remake or reimagine something for a different medium. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff that I think they left off the table and a lot of stuff that they put on the table that we didn't really need. It was, they were just gorging themselves on the awesome special effects. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the film. Mm-hmm. I watched the entire thing. It just didn't do for me what I wanted it to do for me. When I saw that first Transformers movie, Transformers 1, in the theater, even though I don't think it was technically as good a film as this third one, mm-hmm. it had an entirely different effect on me. The second movie was a complete letdown, and this movie makes that movie spades over how big mm-hmm. the difference they came from mm-hmm. that second movie to this one. But ultimately, it was just all right. I give this movie a 7.
I have to agree with almost all of your points. I can get by the stickling of porting over personalities inside of the characters. Frankly, I don't know how many characters we actually have to meet inside of the Transformers to really be taken, but more importantly, to spill onto a common audience.
Right.
It would be great if we went through and we met and got the personalities of all the characters like they showcase, especially, I think, in the cartoon. Every single one of them, even if they only talk for 35, 40 seconds in an episode, you kind of understand where that character's from, either based on the accent or what they do or what their personal gimmick is inside of their personal profile. We don't have any of that inside the movie, so I've just got to give on that one. I don't know how to say, and you must change them all to do this, because it doesn't work. Too long. What got me most about this movie is that it is just too damn long. There are so many efforts that could have been clipped here. We talked about the parents. We talked about a lot of the super shine effects sets and areas they did inside the movie. A lot of those could have been clipped significantly. And I don't think you'd have lost that much. The chasing through the city, where the city, parts of the building are falling over. What were there, 4 or 5 of those in succession that you didn't pull away from? And it's like you're following them inside of the Pitfall game back in 1982. And on that, again, clipping it up, shoring up the edges, getting rid of the parents, making the concept of what's going on with what they're building way more straightforward and not as epic, I think would have been a great move. Because again, you get to lessen how much time and you have the impact stay exactly the same or better because they're getting it in a shorter amount of time. When I first saw the original movie, I was a lot younger than I am now, 4 or 5.5 years now.
Sure.
And I could not have even the regular size drink to finish if I wanted to go to the bathroom during the period of time it took to take this movie. Because you can't get a regular 32-ounce drink and not go to the bathroom over a period of 3 hours.
Right.
Doesn't work that way. At least it doesn't work for my pipes anymore. So what do I give this one? If I look at the perspective of the films, I like the first one because it was the transforming of giant robots that kick ass into the real realm of our realm. So huge, giant numbers. The second one destroyed me. They absolutely painted that picture wrong. not only was it too long, but all the other crap that was built into it because it's har-har moments, didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
This one got me on the effects, got me on the gist of what's going on, got me with the space romp human spaceflight. I love that drama. I love that epic swelling heart moment. I love that. And it got me at the end where we get to see a vengeful robot kicking ass. Yes, it was Optimus Prime, the Buddha of the original cartoon movement, but it was that giant Optimus Prime robot with Peter Cullen's voice kicking robot ass. And so when I add it up for me, you get an 8 out of this. Yeah. You're getting above and beyond what is common go eat popcorn moviedom, especially during the summer, with a little kick on it. And so we're wondering what you thought of this movie, Transformers Dark of the Moon. Let us know what you think by going to twoguystalking.com, click on the contact button, and fill out the quick web form. We want to know what you think about the movie. The franchise. There's going to be more Transformers movies. I don't know how to tell all of you anything more specific.
Sure.
There's no way that we have what we talked about inside of the money portion of inside of this movie, as well as what we talked about inside the good and the bad, equaling at least one more movie. I would have loved this movie to actually be two movies, because it would have worked. It would have worked as a four-part series. The difference is that they couldn't take the done of the two movies and split it into two movies, because then it's not long enough.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they had to give us another hour of the parents.
Yeah. And, or some more ass-kicking, which everybody was ready to watch. I hate to admit that, but the ass-kicking of giant-ass robots, of other giant-ass robots, is giant on the menu system. There's no doubt about it. And there will be other movies. There's been all kinds of rumors running through one of my favorite websites, ScreenRant.com. You can find that at ScreenRant.com and listen to all of the friends that I wrote with there a couple of years ago for an entire year, and how they're talking about another movie that will be coming. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
Right. Like I said before, you can't leave that kind of money on the table. I'm sure everybody involved, with maybe a few minor exceptions, will jump at the chance to be involved in the series again, let alone the fact that they're going to just, you know, open a valve of cash and let it wash over them.
Yeah,
so.
And guess what? Those of you that are going to make that movie, you want the valve of cash to open wide open? Go and listen to the Two Guys Talking perspective review of the second film and this film, and you'll have your golden movie.
Sure thing.
Because it's out there. There are faucets more to be opened here for fans of the Transformers franchise. The last thing we have is, remember, go and buy the soundtrack, the Transformers Dark of the Moon soundtrack, or the Transformers Trilogy soundtrack, which I think is probably the best of all of them. Because what it does is it takes all of the great epic sound moments inside of the series and puts them all into one super long disc. Kicks major Transformers ass. Remember, if you buy it over at the Two Guys Talking Podcast website, you actually get us a little kickback from Amazon. And we always appreciate that, as well as great soundtracks here at Two Guys Talking. So until the next perspective review of your favorite feature film or TV series, I'm Mike Wilkerson, one of your hosts.
And I'm David Creed, your other host.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Two Guys Talking Show. We hope you'll tell your friends and coworkers about us, and don't forget to put us on your podcast list. As always, you can visit and contact us online at twoguystalking.com. That's the number 2, guystalking.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.